Blog Talk Radio.
As a parent, your child's safety is your top priority. Protect Your Children understands. That's why they provide a wide range of free online resources, including in-depth protection guidelines, zip code predator searches, video tutorials, and more to help you protect your children from predators online and off. Don't leave anything to chance. The resources you need to keep your children safe are easily available and they're free. Visit protectyourchildren.org to find the tools you need to protect your kids. That's protectyourchildren.org.
All right, welcome to the Protect Your Children radio show, and we are glad that you are here. I'm your host, Christopher Gelson. I'm the director and lead teacher of Protect Your Children Incorporated, a not-for-profit organization that provides protection resources nationwide without charge. Yes, we don't charge for protection because that would just be crazy, and there are some people that do. We encourage you to visit our website at protectyourchildren.org, protectyourchildren.org, and take advantage of all the free resources that we offer. And I'll tell you that our mission is to protect children from molestation and kidnapping with the tools of education and awareness. We will accomplish this mission by providing free and not-for-profit services to anyone who wants to protect children, regardless of race, creed, color, sex, religion, or politics. We will work as a team with other not-for-profit organizations to accomplish this mission. And you can find us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And you can find the links to those on our website, protectyourchildren.org. So we have a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots of information. It's a very touchy topic. CPS, are they hurting families or helping families? We've had a tremendous amount of people reaching out to us either via comments or directly about CPS being harmful to families. And we have heard both stories. We've heard positive and negative, and we want to be able to look at that in a fair and balanced way tonight. And we do welcome your calls and your live chat. The chat room will be open here shortly. And you can comment in the chat room on your experiences, on your thoughts, if you don't want to call in. Or you can call us at 563-999-3645. 563-999-3645. And the chat room is now open if you want to join us in there. We also have a great Hero Kids segment for you tonight. And also, Talking with Topher, Episode 9. Topher has a surprise waiting for him today, and it's actually going to be quite a fun talking with Topher, so we encourage you to stick around for that. We want to tell you that the amount of children that are missing seems to be increasing exponentially. Every day we're hearing about kids that are missing, that are just simply disappearing. A few of them have gone off with relatives, but the majority of them are just turning up missing. And a lot of you out there believe that CPS is involved in all that stuff. We're not going to make a comment on that either way because we're not able to verify that, so we're not going to accuse them. But nonetheless, we need to draw more awareness to these kids that are missing. And as we've said before, the family and the friends don't forget, but the public does. If I asked you right now to name 5 kids that have been missing for a long time, I wonder if you could do it. You know, and that's the sad part, because after so much time goes by, then it seems to drop out of the mainstream mind and mainstream media. And then, unfortunately, the public tends to forget about these kids that are missing. And we want to raise awareness to it so that hopefully these kids can be found. And we're going to ask for your help to do that. You know, it's a sad, sad thing that each week to look up these kids that are missing. You know, and how do you pick one over another? We can probably do a whole show and just highlight tons and tons of kids. But we try to just bring one to you each week so you can see that this is a very real issue. These kids are disappearing, and they're all different ages. They're male and female, and something needs to be done. And we've had calls for people to investigate CPS and investigate the Trump administration, investigate the Biden administration. And, you know, really at this point, the situation is so large that the best thing we can do now is protect our kids from being kidnapped and raise awareness about the ones that have been. And I think that's where we can start. We can assign blame all we want, but that's not going to bring them back. So tonight we want to highlight Cameron Strode. He's now 16 years old. He's been missing since November 17th, 2020. And he is missing from Indianapolis, Indiana. And the police say he may still be in the local area. So we encourage you to look up Cameron Strode. He has long brown hair. He's about 5'2", has hazel eyes. And unfortunately, like many of the others, there's no other information available. No other information available. Just turned up missing one day. November 17th, 2020. And he's now 16 years old. 5'2", long brown hair, hazel eyes. Encourage you to Google or visit our Twitter or our Facebook, see a picture of him, or if you just Google his name, Cameron Strode, and see if he looks familiar to you, especially if you're in the Indianapolis, Indiana area. If you have any information, you should contact the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department. Their number is 317-327-3811. 317-327-3811. Or you can contact the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 1-800-THE-LOST. 1-800-THE-LOST. Cameron Strode, age now is 16, missing from Indianapolis, Indiana. About 5'2", long brown hair and hazel eyes. Just vanished. Please do some due diligence. Look him up. And hopefully we can raise some awareness, get his picture spread all over the place, and maybe bring him home. And you can also go to our website, protectyourchildren.org, protectyourchildren.org. And there's a link there, Missing Children by State, Missing Children by State. And you can select your state, and you can see a list of all of the kids that are currently missing. And you can share that link on your social media. You can get that out there to as many people as possible and hopefully raise more awareness and bring some of these kids home. So please do that. We have noticed in our stats that week after week we mention about these kids being missing, and nobody has visited that page on our site in probably 2 months, and that's okay because there's lots of places where you can find listings of kids that are missing. But while you're at our site learning how to protect your kids with the resources we have, please click on the Missing Children by State. All right. So because the CPS issue is so touchy and we're expecting to get a lot of feedback from this, there's a lot of accusations. Everything from CPS is evil, CPS is child traffickers, CPS kidnapped my kids, and it just goes on and on and on. We want to look tonight at some positive stories from CPS and some negative stories from CPS. We want to try to look at this in a fair and balanced way. We are not so ignorant to say that there hasn't been bad apples within CPS. Of course there has been. And we know that there's also been a lot of success stories with CPS, which I don't think people hear much about. So we want to bring you one of those later as well. But because of the length of the information we're going to go over tonight, we are going to bring you our Hero Kids segment a little bit early. And we want to highlight hero kids. These are kids that are being raised correctly. These are kids that have committed selfless acts to help others, to save others, to make a difference in other people's lives. And we hope that by bringing you this each week, that you will encourage your children to go outside of themselves and look for ways that they can bless others. Look for ways that they can make an impact, make a difference, and teach your kids what to do in situations. God forbid you end up in a dangerous situation. How will your kids react? Because, you know, that's a defining moment for a child. When they know that they've made a difference, and they've impacted lives, that builds your self-confidence, builds your self-esteem, helps them to feel worthy, and will encourage them to make right choices down the line later on in life. So let's listen to this Hero Kids segment, and we'll be right back. Again, if you want to call in, the number is 563-999-3645. 563-999-3645. Chat room is also open if you want to jump in there. So let's listen to this Hero Kid.
Praise for the five-year-old in the princess dress, who many are calling the bravest girl in the world. Little Lexi is getting a well-deserved medal for saving the life of her baby brother and mother.
When I look at her, she's the reason I'm alive.
Angela Szymanski was driving home with her kids when she fell asleep at the wheel, sending her SUV plunging over an embankment in the Canadian Rockies.
I remember feeling my eyes shut one time, and that's when I thought, okay, the next rest stop, I'm going to stop there. I never made it to that rest stop.
The crash broke Angela's back. She was knocked unconscious and was close to death. Lexi knew she had to get help.
Peter was crying.
He was crying, and what did you do?
Lexi unbuckled her car seat and sprang into action. She showed us how she climbed up the treacherous 40-foot embankment in bare feet. With true grit, she made it to the highway and started waving down cars until someone stopped.
I know, he's doing so good.
Passing motorists Lonnie and Jeremiah Jurek still can't believe what they saw that day.
Seeing her come out from, you know, a real large embankment, and Jeremiah, we have to stop.
She was standing on the edge of the road and just trying to get traffic to stop. She was screaming and motioning to traffic to stop.
When the grown men, medics and firemen say that they did it with ropes, I know that it's unreal that she did it barefoot.
Paramedics reached Angela just in time. Her heart had stopped and they had to resuscitate her back to life.
This little child, yeah, is the reason I'm alive and that my baby's alive and our family's together.
Baby Peter needed emergency neurosurgery to stop bleeding on his brain. Angela had to be confined to a wheelchair for her broken back and has just started walking again with the help of a cane. Lexi's proud father knows how lucky he is to still have his family.
I just started bawling pretty much, like I couldn't believe what she had done.
Lexi's parents are also grateful to the Good Samaritans who answered the little girl's plea.
Thank you guys.
We reunited the families for the first time since the crash, and there were plenty of tearful hugs to go around.
What is it like to be reunited?
Oh, there's no words, really, because thank you doesn't even come close.
Little Peter is now perfectly fine. Mom is on the mend, and Lexi can savor her hero status with her shiny new medal.
Wow. Encouraging and inspiring, and she knew what to do. This car goes off an embankment, tumbles down, and this little girl unstraps herself, gets up out of the car, climbs up this embankment barefooted, and starts flagging down cars just in time to save her mother and her baby brother. And she is truly a hero. This is the Protect Your Children radio show with your host, Christopher Gelson. Call in number 563-999-3645. 563-999-3645. The website is protectyourchildren.org, protectyourchildren.org. And we're also on social media. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And the links to those are on our website homepage right at the top. You can't miss them. So please check us out on social media. So our quick news segment tonight is a study found that most parents are not aware of the dangers that their children are in. And most parents believe that they already know everything that they need to know, that their kids have been told everything they need to know in order to be safe from predators online and offline. This concerns us greatly because we don't even know everything. There are so many different things out there. There's different traps. There's technology that's being developed and advanced all the time. There's new apps that are coming online, which prevent new dangers for kids. There are tons of fake profiles, which are very hard to identify, though they can be, but it takes time. There's so much information out there, and what we don't want to see is parents thinking, "Nah, I don't need to know about how to protect my kid. I already got that covered." We've heard parents, we've seen comments where parents have said, "Eh, I pray and put them in God's hands and God will take care of keeping safe." Okay, yes, God does protect some kids, and sometimes kids aren't protected. Because, you know, the responsibility lies within us to get as much information as we can, to educate our kids as much as we could, and keep them updated with new things that are happening, new ways. I remember there was a time where nobody even considered blackmail as one of the ways a predator can trap a child. Now, this is going back years and years and years, but it became very popular. It started happening a lot. But see, there's things that are constantly changing. And parents, you need to be aware of all the different ways and things that can happen that can put your kids in danger. And of course, you want to protect them because you love them and they're your gifts. They're the most important thing to you. So when we see a study that says, yeah, parents are really confident. They're really confident that they already know everything. Oh, they got location services on their phone, so they're not worried about where they're at. Now, of course, those location services don't tell you who they're with or what's happening, where they're at. Oh, but I text my child, you know, every time they're away from me, I text them every hour to see how they're doing. Okay, that's good, but how about you try calling them? Because, you know, a text is easy. Anybody can reply to a text. But I would call them. You want to hear their voice. You want to hear who's around them. You want to hear what's going on. So please, parents, stay open. Stay open-minded. One thing we see on our Facebook page is we have posts that will get seen by thousands. And it'll have 100 hearts, 100 likes. But when we check the statistics, no one clicks on the link that's in the post. So what that says is, yeah, well, we agree. We agree that we have to be educated. Now, unless every single person that looked at that, all those thousands, already know all the information, and they don't need to click on the podcast, they don't need to click on the post, they don't need to click on the website, then a great disservice is being done. So we want to encourage you to continue to be vigilant and continue to do your research. And parents, this isn't looking down on you because we don't know everything that's out there. So please stay open, do your research, and protect your kids in the best way that you can. And of course, we're here to help with that any way that we can. Now, speaking of the podcast we did a couple weeks ago about what is love, that has been downloaded 600 times. 600 times the podcast. What is love? How to teach your kids what real love is, so that they don't fall victim to a predator. The podcast after that, 10 downloads. And that was the different types of predators. Well, maybe everybody thinks they already know the different types of predators. Why is that important? Well, it's important because you need to know the personality profiles, the traits, the warning signs that's within that information, so that you can think in your head, wait a minute, maybe this reminds you of somebody. Maybe I need to look into this. Now that podcast, like I said, 10 downloads, 10. Lowest one of the 9 podcasts that we've done so far, 8 or 9. So we encourage you to go back and listen to that. It's a lot of information, but it's definitely important to know the different types of predators. You can find that on our Blog Talk Radio site here. You can find it on our website under the radio show page. Please check out that podcast because it's a lot of important information. And we thank you in advance for doing that. So first, what I want to do with CPS is let's look at what CPS is supposed to do. What power, what authority do they have? And which authority do they not have? What are your rights when it comes to CPS? Now, I will tell you straight up as an organization, if we receive a tip that a child may be harmed or is being harmed, we're going to make that call. We are legally required to do that, just as a teacher is, or a therapist, or a police officer. But we're going to make that call. We're not going to sit here and say, well, we're not going to call CPS because they're just going to go kidnap their kids, and they're going to just rip their kids away from somebody, and it's going to be unjustified. That's not our responsibility. So as an organization, we rely on CPS to intervene when necessary. And we understand that there are situations out there where people have gotten a raw deal. And there are situations out there where children have been saved, been removed temporarily, been reunited, and the families have gone on to be stronger, and the parents have gone on to be stronger. So it does go both ways. Unfortunately, we've been fielding comments that are all negative. All negative. Like, there seems to be this major distrust in Child Protective Services. And you know, by doing that, you are judging every single child protective agent that's out there. You're judging every county, every state, and you're throwing them all in one bucket. Now, we're not going to say that every single child protective agent is good and that every county and every state agency is legally doing what they're supposed to do and on the money. We're not going to say that either. We're not going to say that every judge does the right thing all the time or that every judge does the wrong thing all the time. So what we want to do with this podcast is to show you what your rights are, what CPS is supposed to do, what they're legally required to do, and how you can respond in the situations if they're ever become part of your family. And we want to look at the positive stories, and we're also going to highlight a negative story because it does happen both ways. So let's look at this here. A CPS professional went over the top questions and concerns that she received, and these following ones are based on her experience in her state and region. CPS practices vary state by state and city by city and county by county. You want to find relevant information, you can look up CPS in your region. The following are her answers to the most common questions she has heard while working for CPS. And knowing these answers can give you insight into the reasoning behind the policies and help you navigate their system. Number one, CPS is legally obligated to investigate every report. So you may have heard it before, and it's the truth, CPS is legally obligated to investigate every report it receives. However, there are instances where they do not investigate or the case is closed without investigation. And that typically happens when there's no real foundation to believe that there is abuse or neglect occurring. But they have to. They're legally required to investigate when a report is made. Now, why might a case not be investigated? Well, for one instance, a report is made that a 14-year-old boy is being left home alone after school. If the child does not have any special needs, it is not causing any damage to property or otherwise putting himself in danger, it would appear that the child is normal high school freshman with no risk factors. Therefore, this case might be closed right at the intake because no real neglect is occurring. On the other hand, if that same report states the child has Down syndrome, the report will likely become investigation. It's just an example. Now, what are some types of investigations and how long do they generally take? Well, investigations might range from one conversation with a parent or foster parent to a full investigation. In any case, if the report makes it to an investigator's desk, they are legally obligated to respond to it. This is not a policy. This is the law. Case response time is 24 to 72 hours, depending on the case. Now, some factors such as screening and routing can take slightly longer. In general, though, a case will get a response within 72 hours. Responses range from seeing the entire family to seeing just the child or speaking with any person on the case. There may also be unsuccessful attempts to contact someone. So even if you're being investigated, that does not mean that a parent will necessarily be contacted within 72 hours. A parent may not be contacted for some time after a case is initiated. The person who reports the case to CPS is sometimes contacted prior to action and sometimes not contacted at all, except to receive a letter given the ruling on the case. A letter only states the ruling and gives absolutely no details or anything else. They might say, what about ridiculous or false claims? Well, it doesn't matter how ridiculous or false the claim may be. When an investigator receives the referral, they are legally obligated to investigate, even if the child, parents, witnesses, and 10 other unrelated persons insist that something did not occur. The case must still be completed. It has to be. This is what an investigator intends to gain from an investigation, the truth about what happened. So what about ulterior motives of people who report abuse? She says, trust me when I say that when a CPS worker receives a large amount of reports, same allegation by the same report, and it's clear the motivation is something other than the welfare of the child, they know that there is an ulterior motive. Sometimes we have a long talk with a reporter about making false allegations, she says, the consequences for doing so, and the unnecessary stress they're placing on the child. A senior CPS investigator said, we go out to disprove an allegation as much as we go out to prove it, which means they're going in with an open mind. They're not making up their mind before anything even happens. They're going to find out the facts and discern if the truth is that there is something that happened or if it's a false claim. And there are many real claims and there are many false claims. So can CPS see your child without your permission? The simple answer is yes. The longer answer is CPS will usually attempt to see your child before they talk to you. There is a simple reason for this. Workers want to talk to the child before a parent or foster parent has the chance to tell them what to say or threaten the child with consequences of disclosing abuse. Also, if the child has any bruising or physical evidence of abuse or neglect, the investigator will try to get to that child before the evidence is gone. This helps us understand why they're doing what they do. Now, what if you're falsely accused? Well, you may be upset because you've been falsely accused. It's understandable to feel upset. But you should also remember that some parents are not falsely accused, and it's important for CPS to reach those children before there can be any intimidation or coaching by abusive parents. If you consider this an injustice or a violation of your rights as a parent, think of the child who's being abused. That child might disclose the truth to a worker if they are interviewed prior to contact with the parent. But if a parent is made aware first, are they not going to intimidate, threaten, or further harm the child in order to ensure the child does not disclose the abuse? They certainly would. And this is likely why CPS will try to see your child at school, daycare, or another setting before notifying you. The rules for this may vary in some states, but you can check the rights in your own state. And in many states, you can look up the laws and the policies of CPS. online. So we're trying to understand why they do what they do. And put yourself in the shoes of an investigator, because there are true claims that are made. And what if they don't investigate that and a child dies? What if they don't investigate it and a child lives a life of horror? They have to investigate to see if there's anything really going on. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we will be back and we'll look at the rest of these. And also, Talking with Topher, episode 9. Talking with Topher, episode 9, coming up. This is the Protect Your Children radio show. The phone number to call, 563-999-3645. 563-999-3645. Website is protectyourchildren.org. And we'll be back right after this commercial break. Stay with us.
Imagine the world as a bully-free place where kids could be themselves without all the judgment, where students wouldn't laugh at each other, and kids would stop being bystanders and stick up for one another, where cyberbullying isn't a thing. Imagine a world where there was a change, where kids can feel accepted, and where bullying wasn't a thing. Stop bullying and be the change you want to see in the world.
We do everything we can to protect our kids. When 1 in 9,800 children drown and 1 in 360 suffer a bike injury, it's only natural to do what we can to prevent anything bad from happening. But did you know that 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 5 boys is sexually abused before the age of 18? Like wearing a helmet, prevention through education is the most important thing we can do to protect our children.
Thanks for staying with us. This is the Protect Your Children radio show. I'm your host, Christopher Nelson, and we're glad that you are here. So let's say, what if you don't want your child interviewed? What if you don't want your child interviewed? Well, if you don't want your child interviewed and an investigator comes to their school, you can tell them no. You can even have something on file at the school stating that no one is allowed to interview your child without you present. Once you have stated to a CPS worker that you do not want your child interviewed, they cannot conduct an interview without a court order. A lot of parents don't realize that. That basically means if you refuse to allow the child to be interviewed, CPS must obtain a court order from a judge stating that you must allow the interview, or that the situation must be of such an emergency or risk that the child must be taken into the investigator's custody and interviewed. If the emergency situation occurs, the investigator must justify that claim in a court within 24 hours, obtain the approval of a judge, and notify you about it. It is rare to interview a child by these circumstances unless the child is also removed at the same time. You do have rights. A lot of people feel like they don't have rights when it comes to this, but they do. So what if CPS comes to your house? Well, if a CPS worker wants to interview your child at your home, they must ask your permission. They cannot speak with your child at your home without you present, without your consent. If you say no, they will not conduct the interview. And what if your child's home alone? Well, if your child is home alone, CPS can talk to them, but it varies by circumstance. A child cannot give a worker permission to enter the home. But if the child is home alone and that poses a danger to themselves or to others, the police department will be contacted and all parties may enter your home. And of course, this is an extreme circumstance. And if an older child is home alone, they generally won't be fully interviewed at that time. And if they are, it will be outside of your home. You do not have to let CPS in the door. CPS has no special right to enter your home without your permission, and you can say no to them. Workers do not have a right to obtain search warrants. You can be cooperative with the investigation without letting an investigator walk inside of your home. So what if CPS shows up at your front door? Well, you can open the door and allow them to look inside and still not allow them to come in. Workers should ask you before coming into your home. If you say no, they cannot and will not enter. Now, because we understand that not all agents are doing what they're supposed to be doing, keep this stuff in mind. If any of this has happened to you, if they've gone against your wishes and they've done any of these things that we're talking about, then you can report that. It's a legitimate excuse. Hopefully you haven't had to experience it. So now what happens if you let CPS come inside? Well, once you allow CPS into your home, you can ask them to leave whenever you like, and they must comply. They cannot look through your drawers or search your home unless you give them permission. Allowing entry to the home does not entitle the investigator to go through your medicine cabinet. They may look around and see what is visible to the eye, but they must ask permission to open a drawer or even the refrigerator. You have rights. Parents and alleged perpetrators have rights. Ask your worker about those rights or research them on your own. If you get a surprise visit, you can ask for time to look up your rights. You have more control over the situation than you think. For example, you can say to a worker, I'd like to talk to you in a few days after I've looked over my rights, and they have to comply with that. So yes, you can ask for time to review your rights. Now, the investigation process is designed to be thorough. So say you've been accused of not supervising your child, and now workers are asking you questions about drugs, alcohol, pornography, and whether you've had an abortion. They asked your child if anyone had ever attempted to touch them inappropriately, and if they have food to eat every day. You feel like CPS is investigating your whole life from the inside out. Well, what is going on here? So why is CPS asking questions that aren't related to the allegations? Well, in a sense, they're investigating your life from the inside out. Workers have, they screen children from all types of abuse, neglect, regardless of the actual allegation. Investigators will ask questions about the allegation, but they will also ask broad, general questions about all types of abuse and neglect. And of course, the reason for this should be obvious. If the allegation itself is false, but mom and dad are doing drugs in front of the child is now still at risk. And CPS needs to know that, so they do get a bit nosy. Mom and dad are going to be asked some general screening questions as well. They'll be asked about their own childhoods and habits, whether they have financial problems or domestic violence. And these questions help the CPS worker determine several things. For example, is the family in a position of high stress? Does the mother or father show a pattern of behavior? Is there a long history of violence, sexual abuse, or incest in the family? And so on and so on. Now, CPS needs your consent to test you for drugs. A lot of parents will get scared and think if they just don't consent, then they're just going to come take their kids away. That's not how it works. It's definitely a sticky subject. CPS workers can drug test you, but they do need your consent. They cannot force you to take a drug test since they do not have the legal authority to do so. They will not notify you that they are going to drug test, and they will arrange for the test in a short period of time. And there are certain counties or states that will drug test every person in every case. And you can be drug tested no matter your age, and your children can also be drug tested. There are a million rules that govern this and all kinds of different rules for each situation. But you as a parent, you should know the rules and know what your rights are. And this is important. This senior CPS worker states that CPS does not want to separate families. She said, I've heard many things about CPS and removals. I've heard ridiculous things like they have a quota they must reach for removing children, or they get bonuses for removing a child. We've also seen this on our comment section. Oh, they get $6,000 every time they take a child out of the home. This protection person says, I will speak for myself and say I'd rather do anything than remove a child from their family. First of all, when a child is removed, a CPS worker has just guaranteed themselves an extra 50 or so hours of work. There are many things involved in a child's removal. It's not pleasant, and they do not want to do those things. They have enough work to do already, and they don't want to make more work for themselves by removing the child for reasons other than the child's safety. Workers do not get bonuses, perks, or anything else for removals, and there is certainly no quota. The policy is to do everything possible to avoid removal. You may not see those policies or notice what's being done to avoid removal, but it's true. They might have a question. Why did it happen so fast? Well, it may happen very fast. You may feel that they have walked in and snatched your baby without a moment of thought. While those feelings are understandable, she says it simply does not work that way. It doesn't happen that fast for us, she says. Remember that CPS likely began the investigation before even approaching you. And there are cases where the situation is so dire that an emergency removal is necessary based on very limited but devastating information. Removal is different from placement. If you've been asked to place your child with a family or other types of kin, your child has not been removed. You may have voluntarily placed your child in another home while you work some type of service or control some different factors. Removal will always involve a court order from a judge prior to the removal or within 24 hours after. You'll be asked to attend court hearings and you'll get an attorney. And a lot of times the case plan will be laid out. And if certain benchmarks are met, the child can be put back with you. So it doesn't just happen like they came out of nowhere. And of course, why should you cooperate with CPS? Well, we know that that takes a lot of trust, but they do have the power to investigate and to remove your child. And certainly, just like if you get pulled over by an officer on the road, you don't want to start reaching for the dash, you know, the glove compartment or under the dash or something. Like you don't want to do anything that's going to make it look like you're up to no good. So with CPS, if they're asking questions and you're being evasive and you won't talk to them and you're hiding your child from them, all that's going to do is make them think that there's something even more going on that you're hiding. And they definitely will say that the interview will not cause a child emotional distress because these investigators are trained to talk with kids. They're not going to push really hard. They're not going to, if they start getting upset, they will stop the interview. They're not going to traumatize your child by asking them questions. All right, so those are some of the things that come from a senior CPS worker. Now, I don't know who this person is personally, but at some point we've got to trust that they are looking out for the best interest. And again, not every situation has been done correctly. We know that. But thousands of cases have been. We know particularly of a case where the kids were put in foster homes. There was three of them, and they were put in foster care for 5 years. 5 years. And CPS never terminated the parents' rights. They continued to give the parents chance after chance after chance to reach the benchmarks, get their life together, and the goal was to reunite these kids with that family, and they did so. Those kids have been back with the family now for over a year. But 5 years? CPS in this situation was going way above and beyond to make sure those kids stayed with their family. So there are cases where they are working very, very hard to make sure they reunite these kids. So here's one quick success story. About a minute and 30 seconds. Let's check this out.
At 14, Child Protective Services took Emily Fuentes from her Raymondville home because her parents abused drugs.
When I was in school, that people would complain, like, whoa, my parents grounded me for this and this. I mean, I wish my parents cared enough to ground me for something that I did wrong.
Although it's hard to be on her own, Fuentes says she is grateful for whoever called CPS.
If I would have went back home, I probably would have dropped out of school. It was expected of me to fail.
Living in a foster home, Fuentes had a family support system to lean on. It's part of CPS's Preparation for Adult Living program, also known as PAL. Starting at age 16, it helps foster care kids learn to manage money and seek a higher education. It even pays for college.
We know that they can better their opportunities through an education.
Ama Alfaro is Fuentes' PAL coordinator. She says she sees a growing number of young adults in the Valley overcoming a hard life through education.
12 years ago, there were only 5 young adults enrolled in the free tuition program. Today, there are more than 24, 10 of whom, including Emily, attend here at STC.
It's just awesome to see that growth and that maturity, which takes time, except my kids don't have that time. My kids are on their own, and they won't have that family support, so it's tough to see them struggle through that.
Now 21 years old, Fuentes is attending South Texas College. She's preparing to be a social worker so she can help others like herself.
I honestly believe that I'm going to make a big impact on the world. I don't know how I'm going to do it yet, but I just like helping people, so that's what I want to do.
So that's a positive story, and there are thousands and thousands like that. Well, let's also look at the case that you guys are probably familiar with of Gabriel Fernandez. And let's listen what happened there.
Gregory Merritt were in court today for their arraignment on the felony charges. In a rare move, 4 social workers were charged today in an extreme case of child abuse where an 8-year-old boy died.
CBS News' Randy Page tells us what they are accused of doing.
I have a message for the 4 social workers. You brought this upon yourself. Your conviction will be our greatest victory.
The cousin of Gabriel Fernandez is reacting to the district attorney's decision to charge 4 social workers with child abuse and falsifying public records in connection with the 8-year-old's torture and death in 2012. Stephanie Rodriguez, Patricia Clement, Kevin Baum, and Gregory Merritt were in court today for their arraignment on the felony charges. Prosecutors say Gabriel's mother, Pearl Fernandez, and her boyfriend, Nassaro Aguirre, tortured and murdered the little boy in one of the most gruesome child abuse cases in L.A. County history. They are awaiting trial for the boy's murder and could face the death penalty. But District Attorney Jackie Lacey says the 4 social workers should also be held criminally responsible for allowing the boy to remain in the abusive home after multiple allegations of abuse were reported to county authorities. L.A. County's Director of Children and Family Services says the 4 social workers did not follow the proper protocols in Gabriel's case.
What makes you think they are being followed now? What's different today than the day he died?
Well, I think one thing that's different is the fact that that tragic situation has sensitized all of our staff to the consequences of actions which they take every day.
Today in court, a judge lowered the bail from $150,000 to $100,000 for all 4 defendants. They'll be back in court later this month.
So it does happen. Like we said, we don't believe that every agent is doing the right thing all the time. So there are situations. But of course, the media highlights always the negative and not so much of the positive. So that's going to be the portion of the show for the CPS. Are they hurting families or helping families? We look forward to your feedback on that. This podcast will be available for download, for sharing, for liking, for commenting. We ask that you keep it clean. As per our standard, if there's any cursing, any insults, any threats, your comment will be removed and you will be blocked. So keep it clean, keep it to the point, and remember what the goal here is. Protect children. All right, Talking with Topher, episode 9. Are we ready for Talking with Topher, kids? I know the kids are waiting for Topher. The kids love Topher. And so Topher today has a surprise. He's going to be on a game show. Indeed. Let's check this out. Hey, Topher. I'm happy you could come visit me in my studio today. I have a surprise for you.
Really? Well, duh. What was it? Money?
No, it's not money. Well, first, is there anything new with your counselor or anything with your friends or dad that you need to talk about?
No. I've a final song.
Okay, happy to hear that, because today we are going to play a game.
Whoa. What kind of game?
Well, it's called Quizzo. It's a quiz game with sound effects that will test your knowledge on two different topics. And if you win, then your mom said she will buy you a new toy and take you to dinner.
Whoa, that sounds fun. Let's play.
All right, let's do this.
Welcome to Quizzo. We have two guests today. The first one is Topher. He is a fourth grader, and he loves to be outside. Our second guest is Chris. He is a director and lead teacher of a not-for-profit, a radio show host, and a mentor. He loves baseball and also loves being outside. We have two categories today, protecting from predators and outdoor games. Each contestant will choose a category and the amount they want to wager. And if they get it right, then they will go again. If they get it wrong, the next guest will go. Topher won the rock, paper, scissors, so he will go first. All right, Topher, pick a topic.
I will talk outside games for 200.
All right, this game is played with 9 players and 9 innings.
I remember that. It's baseball.
That's correct. What's your next category?
Protecting from predators for 300.
What is the average age a predator starts hurting children?
15.
That is correct. The average age is between 14 and 15. All right, Topher, you are doing great. What is your next category?
Let's go with outside games for 100.
This game is played with an oval-shaped ball, and the field is 300 feet long.
I know this. It's football.
Oh, no. The correct answer is rugby. Chris, it is your turn to choose a category.
All right. Let's go with outside games for 300.
All right. This game is played with a mallet, a ball, and hoops.
I know this. It's called croquet. Croquet, yes.
Correct. The game is called croquet. Choose your next category.
All right, let's try protecting from predators for 200.
All right, name 3 popular apps that kids use that do not verify identity or age.
Oh, well, that's easy. That's TikTok, Facebook Messenger, and Instagram.
Correct. These apps, along with a dozen others, enable kids to talk to strangers, and anyone can pretend to be older or younger. Now go ahead and choose your next category.
All right, let's go with protecting from predators for 100.
All right, this is true or false. The majority of child predators are strangers.
Well, that's false.
That's correct. 90% of child predators are a family member or close friend of the family. Go ahead and pick your next category.
All right, let's go with outside games for 200.
This game is played with a long rectangle bat and a ball with fielders.
That's called baseball.
Oh, no, that's not correct. It's called cricket. Baseball is played with a round bat. All right, we're all tied up at 400 apiece. This is the bonus round question. You each will have 30 seconds to write your answer and how much you want to wager. The category is protecting from predators. Name five groups of kids that are at a higher risk of being targeted by predators. Ready? Go! Did you wager?
400.
All right, so that gives you a total of 800. Chris, what do you have?
Oh, man, a child that dresses in a way that is revealing of their groin or buttocks areas, a child that is easily trusting of every adult without caution, kids whose parents do not monitor what apps are on their child's phone, and a child that has too much freedom in their neighborhood.
That is only four answers.
Yeah, I couldn't think of another one.
Well, how much did you wager?
$0.
So that leaves you with 400, and Topher has 800. Congratulations, Topher! You won!
Wow!
Topher is a smart kid. He is learning from talking with Chris, and he's learning how to be safe, and he's teaching his friends how to be safe. And you know what? His mom's learning a lot too. But what about his dad? Why isn't his dad involved in all of this? Well, we're going to ask Topher about that next week when we talk with him and see what's going on with that situation. He's mentioned that his dad is scary. Is that anger? Or is he just scared that his dad doesn't love him? Well, we're going to find out next week on Talking with Topher. We want to thank you for being part of the show. Again, we encourage you to share the podcast, like it, retweet it, share the information with other people. And we hope that this has given you some insight on the roles and the legalities of CPS and what your rights are. And also what you can do in a situation if you find them involved. And also encourage you to report. If you suspect something is going on, you think you have some evidence of that, then do the right thing. You know, and again, we will be here to help you in any way we can. Our website is protectyourchildren.org, protectyourchildren.org. Please go to our website, download the in-depth protection guidelines. They have not been downloaded in about 2 weeks. So unless everybody who's visiting and seeing our posts and liking already has all that information, which would be great. But if you don't, please download the free in-depth protection guidelines. Go over them with your kids and help keep them safe. Until next time, this is Christopher Gellison with Protect Your Children Radio, produced by Protect Your Children Incorporated. Our website is protectyourchildren.org. Please visit us there. Take care and keep protecting.